Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when this thought hits you. Okay, I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, the whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card. You call the number for help and you can't get a hold of anyone. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Hey, I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the St. Jude kids. St. Jude's doing incredible work fighting childhood cancer. And because of donations like the ones that you give, families never receive a bill ever from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, food, none of that. Help St. Jude stop childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope. Get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. It's going to look great on you. So join all the doctors, researchers, and me in this fight. All right, text the word Bobby. It's only six numbers to 785-833. Again, text the word Bobby to just these six numbers, 785-833.
It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
What's up, everybody? In case this is your first time tuning in, I'm taking the best seven bits from our entire show this week. But it's all based on your guys' engagement, what you guys liked the most, and we can add some behind-the-scenes moments. So on that note, I'm bringing on Eddie because up at number seven is Eddie, who did something that he said he was never, ever going to do. Okay, and I want to talk about this in a more extensive way because Eddie saying he'll never do something is actually a pretty big deal, but he did it. He got his son a phone.
I have always wanted to be the parent to be like, no, you're not getting one till you're 18 years old. That was my rule from when we had our first kid. Now we have four, right? Two ours, two foster kids. And I'm like, we're not budging. However, I would say, I don't know, maybe like earlier last year, my son came home from school and he's like, look, I'm really tired of you talking about me on the radio, not having a phone. That was really like what he said.
It was embarrassing for him.
It was
right?
Embarrassing because one, he had all his friends have phones. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, you know what? Let me tell you something about life. That was like my lesson time. Let me tell you something about life. You can't compare your life to everyone else's because everyone else has phones. Doesn't mean that you need a phone. So that was my whole response
to
that.
You were using all of your old school comparisons with your 12-year-old son. Am I getting this correct?
Kind of.
You were.
I just knew. I knew how dangerous a phone was. Like, you got to realize as a parent that a phone, the whole internet, everything, the good and the terrible, bad, is in the palm of your hands. And so if I remember me being a kid, I was pretty sneaky. And if I wanted to get my way and find some of that bad stuff, I probably could and ask a friend, hey, how do I get around some of these, you know, little privacy things so I can find these, you know, bad things that everyone's talking about? Because when you're in junior high or high school, you want to see what everyone's talking about, right?
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of parents can attest, and I can attest being on social media, that it can be used for bad things.
Yes.
I get that 100%.
Yes.
But do you consider yourself at all like kind of a helicopter parent?
Well, I mean, I think a helicopter parent is a good parent. You got to be a helicopter parent.
Okay, that's an interesting debate. Do you think a helicopter parent is a good parent?
Absolutely.
Or do you think there's a part of you, which I think you've become, not that you thought this was going to happen, but I think you are a helicopter parent that has adjusted to the times, mm-hmm, and has been like, okay, this is really unreasonable for me to think that for six more years, he doesn't get to have a phone. So I think you were a helicopter parent that adjusted to the times. I truly believe that.
Okay, well, thank you. I think that's a compliment because a helicopter parent to me is someone that hovers over their child and watches them as they grow up. It's important for you to keep an eye on what your child is doing. So that's good. On top of that, though, I felt like we needed to let him have a little bit of freedom at the age of 12 to go ahead and dip your foot into the world of a phone.
Yes.
You do have the opportunity now, and it is secured, and it is kind of on lockdown for the most part. But you still have the freedom of having a phone. But I'm still watching you.
Well, but see, okay. That's kind of creepy, by the way.
Because that's how I tell him.
I know.
Oh, I'm watching you.
It is. It's kind of Big Brother-esque. But it's kind of like a helicopter parent is like a bird in a nest, right? They just never really let the bird leave the nest. Even though the bird needs to leave the nest, needs to go out and experience some things, which I think is what you're letting finally happen.
Well, Mama's still watching.
I know. And Mama and Daddy, as yeah. you like to say it, right. are still watching.
Yeah, Daddy.
But how are you feeling now? You've given him this responsibility. It's probably been a few weeks now,
sure.
right?
Yeah.
So how are you feeling in these few weeks? Are you more anxious than you were before because, like, you did let go of some of the reins? Are you freaking out? How are you feeling?
We've had a couple of instances where he's kind of, we walk into the room and he hides his phone, you know, already, and it's been 2 weeks. So I knew, but again, I expected this. And so we've come to the, I guess, conclusion that he is not really hiding things. He's just scared that anything that we find is going to get him in trouble.
He's very cautious. He's like, I'm just going to be as protective as you guys are being of him. Mm-hmm. He's being more protective of his phone. Like, you gave it to me. Please don't take it away.
I think it's going to be a great thing in the long run. I really do. I think this is just the first for him and us. So we'll see how it goes. But other than that, he's very happy. He's very, very happy that he has a phone now and he can. And I think it's cool that he can be at school and I can text him and be like, hey, buddy, how's school going?
Well, yeah, it's a safety thing, too.
Yeah.
Like, they can call you if something happens, and maybe you wouldn't have known until the school called you,
yeah.
and we don't know how long that takes anymore. So I do think it's really cool. Do you also think that now, with your three other kids, because I'm the youngest, and I have three older sisters, you know, everything was easy for me with my parents.
Yeah.
They didn't worry too much about me because they had already been through it all.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think as time goes on with this that you're going to be less and less strict with your other kids?
Probably. I think we'll also learn more about the phone, too, as we get older and learn how kids use it and how we can, as parents, can protect it a little better. So 12 to me was it's extremely early, especially when I thought it was going to be 18. So I don't see my kids getting a phone like a 10 now. Like, it's not going to be one of those things.
So maybe
where
12 is the new guideline.
I
like when your other kids turn 12.
We're going to try to keep 12 as the year that you'll get a phone.
But are you now no longer at least saying this is never going to happen? You've come to the conclusion that you can never say never anymore as a parent.
Yeah. Especially when it comes to technology.
Yeah.
Yeah. And peer pressure is a thing too, you know, like, and it's not that his friends were pressuring him to get a phone. He just felt like he really was left out. And he made a good case on why he needed one. And we're willing to try it out. So,
well, here you have it. A converted helicopter parent.
Nice. I'll take that. Sure. Why not?
That sounds strange.
I don't mind the helicopter parent. I like that label. I feel like to me, that's what we all need to be a little bit.
Well, that is totally okay that you have that opinion. But I do believe we have a somewhat converted helicopter parent. You heard it from him, how he feels, how things are going to change in their household from now on. But listen back to this segment about Eddie talking about giving his son the phone.
Number 7.
I'm a little ashamed to admit because I was very, very strong about this. When I became a parent, I knew that technology was going to change around me and I was going to be dealing with technology things with my kids. And I always said that I'm going to stick to my guns when it comes to getting my kids a phone. Till they turn 18 was I going to get my kids their first phone. But as we got there, you guys kept saying like, oh my gosh, you're going to change your mind, Eddie. There's no way that you can avoid this. You're going to want to get your kids a phone or have to get your kids a phone. Well, guys, Christmas came around. My wife and I decided we got my son a phone.
Wow.
What kind?
And he's 12 years old. It's an iPhone.
Oh, wow.
It's an iPhone. Guys,
you know there's other options.
Well, look. Here's what we decided.
Eddie just went hard.
I go big or go home, baby.
Here's what we decided. We said that, my wife and I said, and she's like, you know what? He's really been asking for it. And that's not why we did it. But we said, we got to trust him. There's a point in our life where we have to say, we trust him enough to give him this device. It's so scary that he has the world in the palm of his hands. It's secured and it's protected. Anytime he has to Google stuff or look up things that aren't under the restrictions we put in there, we get an alert on our phones and I have to approve it. So it's protected, but still scary. Best thing in the world is that if I need to talk to him right now, I can call him. I can text him right now while he's at school. Hey, bud, how's it going? That's pretty cool. So
what apps are you allowing?
Instagram.
No, Instagram. Oh. He's not doing social media, anything like that. What apps are we allowing? It's just the regular stuff. He has iTunes. He can listen to music. He has Disney Plus on there, things like that. He can text his friends. But there's only a list of friends that we've allowed. If he wants to add a new number, we have to approve it. So it's pretty locked down, which he's not really cool with right now, but he's going to have to get over that because step one, he got a phone.
Was he surprised to have a phone?
Yeah. He just couldn't believe it that we got to that level. I think we were talking about it maybe, you know, earlier last year of like, are you going to get your son a phone? And I said, no, and absolutely not. And he came to me, Dad, like, I want you to stop talking about that. But notice, I never talked about it after like July because he was like, I want you to stop. You're embarrassing me.
Oh.
And my kids, my friends at school are like, they have phones and things like that. Like, it's making me really upset. So I respected it. Didn't talk about it anymore. But
wow.
Now I asked him last night, are you cool with me telling everyone that I got you a phone? He's like, absolutely. Tell everyone I got a phone.
Does he have the internet browser though?
He does, but it's
blocked.
Yeah,
it's restricted.
But you can
very
get
restricted.
You can get on Instagram through the internet and have your own account there.
He does not have Instagram. Yeah, look, Bones, we're going to trust him with all this stuff.
I think you should. Great job. I applaud you.
Are you shocked?
No.
You're not shocked?
No,
that?
No, it's like
at 12.
No, I mean, Eddie, he told you all along you were gonna give.
Why am I gonna be shocked that I'm right?
Yeah, I mean, he's always right. If Bobby tells you something's gonna happen, it's gonna happen.
Good for you. I'm glad though.
Thank you.
You're growing up as a parent.
Now my other kids are gonna get it at like 7.
The baby needs one.
Yeah. The baby's gonna get one right now.
Family deal.
Let's go. It's the best bits of the week. Show. With Morgan number 2.
So each year we give back with the help of Pimpin' Joy and the Shop Forward. And one of the projects that we always work on is building homes for heroes. And last year we connected with Army Sergeant Christopher Biggs. He served for 7 years in the military with 2 tours in Iraq. During his second tour in Iraq in 2007, Sergeant Biggs was severely injured in an explosion that would eventually cost him his leg. But thankfully, the story has a really good ending because Building Homes for Heroes came in and they built him a home that was perfectly made for him. And with your guys' help, we raised over $100,000 to help them build that home. And the really good news is that this week we got to share that he moved into his home in Austin, Texas with his family. And they were so excited. The pictures were really awesome. So we're going to throw it back because we got to share the good news this week that he moved into his new home. But he came onto the show last year, and that's when we got to tell him that we were building him a home with the help of Building Homes for Heroes. So we're going to listen back to this interview because it was a really special moment.
Number 6.
On the phone with us right now, Army Sergeant Christopher Biggs. Hello, how are you?
What's up, man?
You good?
I'm good, man. How are y'all?
Real good. So my name is Bobby Bones. I don't know if you've ever heard of the show or not, but we do a radio show. Heard in a lot of places, and we just want to take a minute and talk to you if you're okay with that.
I'm totally cool with that, man.
Now, let me say a little bit about Sergeant Biggs here. He served 7 years. In 2007, while driving on a mission in Iraq, an explosive was detonated, and he was knocked unconscious. He woke up. His left leg and right ankle were shattered. He suffered traumatic brain injury. And you spent 7 years trying to rehab. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, both my legs were shattered. My left one was just more so than my right. They flew me from the crypt to Germany. They took fixates on my legs, and they flew me to Brooks Army Medical Center, which is San Antonio Medical Center now, and just surgeries and rehab. And finally, in 2014, they finally just saw that it wasn't taken, and I was in so much pain, and decided to take my left leg above the knee.
So they amputated your left leg above your knee, is that what you said, or below your knee?
Below the knee.
And so for your service, you got a Purple Heart. So tell me about the Purple Heart. When they give you the Purple Heart, what's happening there then? Like, I see it on TV, but I've never seen one in person.
It was really heartfelt. It really meant something. You know, that's one of the most prestigious awards in the military. It's not necessarily one you want to get, but whenever you get it, you know, you've done something for your country, and you know they're on, life's going to be different.
Well, Sergeant Biggs, we're extremely grateful that you would talk to us. And, you know, something on our show, we really believe in giving back to our military. And you are a hero to us and everybody that serves. And so we are honored to tell you that you're getting a house built just for you in Austin, Texas. And we're going to help build it. And it will be specifically adapted to your specific needs.
Wow.
Well, we're very grateful. And our listeners are a big part of raising the money for this, if not the biggest part of it. And so on Wednesday, what we're doing is putting our Pimp and Joy line up, and we're going to sell it, and we're going to build you a house, man. We're partnering with Building Homes for Heroes to make this happen for you. So we're very grateful for you serving and for every sacrifice that you gave, because without that, we definitely wouldn't be here today.
Dude, I appreciate that so much, man. From the bottom of my heart, like, so much.
Well, we will be in touch very soon, because there's a lot that we want to do for you, and we're going to be there to the very end till we cut the ribbon and we get to go and see inside that house when things get a little more back to normal. All right?
Sounds good, man.
Well, great to talk to you. Thank you again for your service, and I hope you have a great 4th of July, and we'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Thank you so much, man.
All right, there he is, Army Sergeant Christopher Biggs. Woo! We'll talk to you soon.
It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number 2.
All right, so obviously, I'm not a parent. I'm not a new parent. I'm not an old parent. I'm just not even a parent. I don't have any kids. But for those of you that are parents, you for sure remember like your first few weeks and months, maybe even the first few years when you hardly got any sleep because you had a newborn. Well, we had a lot of talk this week about night nurses. So Lunchbox basically prank called a night nurse to find out if he could get a night nurse, not for his babies, but for himself. And I brought Lunchbox on because I want to discuss this a little bit more. Lunch, tell me.
Happy New Year! Happy New Year! Woo! 2021! Woo, 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 woo!
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So needed. Lunchbox, have you ever considered getting a night nurse for your kids?
I have never even heard of a night nurse. Didn't even know that existed. I thought that was a really fake, made-up thing when people started talking about it. But no, it's a real deal. People have someone come in the middle of the night and take care of their kids so they can get sleep. I mean, it must be nice to be able to afford something like that. Woo! You're living the life if you got a night nurse.
I didn't really know or hear much about them until we had, I think it was Jason Aldean came in.
Yes.
And he said that they had one, right?
Yes, he was the first one that told me, when I was having my first kid, you should get a night nurse. It's amazing. And what is he talking about? It's crazy. You hire someone to come in the middle of the night and watch your kid. Wow. That is mind-blowing.
Well, and as someone who really loves their sleep, Lunchbox,
he loves his sleep.
Would you consider hiring a night nurse?
No, because, I mean, it really didn't affect my sleep. I didn't have to get up in the middle of the night. Let's be real.
Because you're saying, like, your wife everything?
She had to breastfeed. So I can't breastfeed, so why would I be getting up in the middle of the night?
Okay.
And I don't think my wife would, because she enjoys that bonding time with the kid. She doesn't want some, you know, Nurse Nancy coming over here in her little outfit. Oh, here, come here, Timmy. And then, you know, I guess they coddle him back to bed. So my wife enjoyed that. She was tired, yes, but she enjoyed, I wouldn't say all the time, but most of the time, the bonding time.
Do you feel like that's part of the experience as a parent too? Is like that bonding time and just being so tired, and that's just part of parenthood?
I think so. But if you got money and you can afford them, but yes, I think it's part of bonding. And I think, I mean, listen, my wife had nothing to do the rest of the day except for watch the kid. And when the kid sleeps, she sleeps. So in the middle of the afternoon, take a nap when the kid naps. She ain't going to work because guess what? You're on maternity leave. So why do you need someone else to come in and watch your kid? I don't know. But yeah, whatever. But well, yeah, so then I called. I thought, okay, you'll find one place that has a nurse, nanny, night nurse, whatever they're called. There are organizations galore that have these. So they're a lot more popular than I realized and I ever knew.
And you prank called because you were trying to get a night nurse for yourself. Now, if a night nurse for adults was actually a thing, would you ever try that?
No, because I don't need help doing anything. Like, I don't need help.
You know, like, what? Hey, maybe they, like, tickle your back. Maybe they, like, sing you a lullaby. I don't know, but maybe adults need night nurses.
I don't need a night nurse because I'm the best sleeper you've ever met in your life. I could lay down right here on this floor and I'd
this
be asleep.
Is true.
I'd be asleep in about 3 minutes on this hard floor right here. So I don't need a night nurse. I don't know what a night nurse would do for me unless if I had to go to the bathroom and she'd bring a bucket over and I could just pee right there and then not even have to get out of bed. That would be awesome. But besides that, I don't need a night nurse.
And
but,
I don't think any human would want to do that anyway.
Hey, there's a price for everything. You know what I'm saying? Ho, 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 ho. Happy New Year!
And but, I do want to tell this story, too, because Lunchbox saying that he could fall asleep anywhere is so true. On all of our work trips, when we fly on a plane somewhere, we could be not even 2 feet off the ground, and Lunchbox is already passed out, and nothing can wake him up until that airplane hits the ground again.
I'm telling you, in high school, one of my track meets, I would go, and it's concrete. I would go underneath the bleachers, and I would just put a sweatshirt under my head and lay straight on the concrete, fall asleep, no problem. Don't care.
Well, there you have it from the Sleeping King himself on how he feels about night nurses. And no, he probably won't ever get one for himself. But listen back to this prank call because it's pretty hilarious.
Number five.
Amy mentioned that in one of her friends' wedding registries, you could donate. And they took that money and hired a night nurse once or twice a week.
Baby shower registry, what not wedding. You said wedding. That would be really weird.
I don't know the difference in these things.
Okay, so that's when you're pregnant and you're going to have a baby shower and you put a bunch of gift ideas up and people get to choose. And yes, they had night nurse as an option, not for you to pay for the whole thing, but you could donate $25, $50 towards it. And then they would have funds to tap into if they needed to hire help.
Well, then I go, a night nurse does all that? I should have one for me.
Yeah.
Got a little chuckle. Then Lunchbox took it to the next level. He called a night nurse to see what it would be like to actually hire one for an adult man. So there was a talk about this and the benefits of having one. Mm-hmm. So here you go. Lunchbox is calling to see if she would take care of him. By the way, Lunchbox is 473 months old. In case you're wondering how old the baby is.
Because when you talk baby talk, you always say, how old are you? 6 months, that's 9 true. Months, 12 months, 13 months. So
here you go.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. I'm just calling to get some information on a night nanny.
Okay. Is the baby here yet, sir?
Oh, yeah. He's here. And just sometimes at night, he's really, really fussy and crying. And
okay,
I just...
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take your name and phone number. I'm going to pass the info to a gentleman named... And he's going to be able to help you out.
Like, I was hoping, like, you can, like, rub his head. That seems to make him calm down. Like,
well, he'll tell you about the nurses. So let me take
a
little info.
And, like, I like it when you tickle me. Like, it really, you know, puts me in a good mood and I fall asleep after that.
What?
Yeah. Like, you know, like when you're kind of upset and you tickle and then it kind of calms me down.
Calms them down. They have ways. Okay. So, sir, what's your name?
Yeah, and my name is Jason Gibble. Do you also help them go pee-pee in the potty?
No, that's different. We're talking about babies. How old is the child?
473 months old.
How old?
473 months.
That's not a bit.
So, like, 39 and a half years old is how old I am.
Not you, the baby.
Well, yeah, I mean, I just like to be held and cuddled. You know, sometimes I have nightmares.
She hung up.
Gone.
Oh, she didn't want anything to do with that.
That's funny, huh?
Let's go. It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
Raymundo returned from his honeymoon in Aruba this week. He and Bae had a fun time, as we all saw on Instagram, and I just have a lot of questions. He talked about it on the show, and we heard a crazy story about a drug dealer and some Tylenol, but I have more questions about the honeymoon that I need answered, so I brought Ray on. What up, Ray?
Yo.
All right, Ray, we really need to discuss this. I think you talked about it on the Sore Losers podcast a little bit.
Yes,
but you had an Instagram fight with Bae. And I need to know what happened.
So let me preface this with saying, at this all-inclusive resort, they give you all the alcohol you could possibly ever imagine in your life. With that said, I was overserved.
I think that point was obvious, but I'm glad you made it clear.
He blames it on the resort.
So... I mean, we had been drinking from mimosas at brunch at 9 a.m. through lunch to the pool to me playing catch with some kids still drinking chills. I had drank probably 20 to 25 drinks in the course of 8 hours. Smash cut, I get on my phone, and maybe I just had never released this anger or energy before, but I really hate cancer. And so
Which is fair, by the way. Very fair point.
Bay had cancer in 2018. She's over a year now recovered from that cancer. She's cancer free. So on this island, after 20, these beers that we drank are called chills, after a multitude of them, maybe a 24 pack, I decided to go on Instagram and just annihilate cancer. I was like, F cancer, F cancer. And
was since deleted about 6 hours after that.
I had to pull the Instagram stories because they were embarrassing and they also were confusing people. People thought that Bay had cancer again. That was never the case. She was in and out of naps, so she never saw the post. And then she woke up, and then that's when she responded. And I believe there was one post where she said his heart is bigger than his head. He should have never posted stuff like that because it confused so many people to the point where she has a hairdresser that never is the hardest person to get a hold of. Never on social media. So hard to get texts back. She's very close with this person. She got a text from that person in Aruba and said, "What is going on? I'm scared to death. Respond now." So my wife woke up out of a nap and just, her phone, there's no telling how many text messages, Instagram, and Twitter messages she had.
When she woke up to this news, had you passed out already?
No, it was a large resort. There was so much to do. There was a casino. There was a beach. There's a pool area. We had a patio. We were always on the move. Never once were we sedentary, where we just sat down and did nothing. We treated that. It was called the palace. We treated that palace like it was our house. I mean, I was all so there's no telling where I was. And
but you were not near her at that moment.
I was not. Okay. Yeah, she was all by herself.
And she woke up, and then she sees your Instagram post for the first time, like a lot of other people did. And she was understandably very upset with you.
Yes.
We saw what happened on Instagram, but what was that conversation that went down after? Share as much or as little as you want. But what was that conversation after? Was she like, "Ray, we really got to work on what you drunk post"?
I think she did throw a pillow at me. It did hit my Ray-Ban sunglasses. I was upset about that. But that was really the only aggression she took out on me. And basically she said it was very sweet. The caretaker goes through a lot when it comes to cancer, and that never gets addressed most of the time. And maybe it took me 2 years to fully just get rid of those demons and just leave them in Aruba, which is what I did. On Instagram and the waves.
Was that almost like your own version of therapy that kind of happened there?
Tell you what, after doing those tweets or whatever the Instagram stories, I felt good. I got yelled at. It was a damn good feeling.
But maybe that was like an argument y'all needed to have too. Like just because. Like you just needed it. You both needed to let it out. Not on each other, but just at cancer and life. Right?
Yeah, it was a confusing moment, but it was so beneficial because the next day we're totally good. We're at mimosas at 9 a.m. We're doing high fives. We're hugging. I'm going in for a super tight hug. I'm going in for the makeout. Life was great after that, but there was a 3-4 hour span where family members of hers were confused. Just because she didn't really know what was going on. And I don't believe she immediately checked Instagram. So she's just like, "What are all these people saying?" And I wasn't there to explain it to her. So there you go.
Now, are we still going to get crazy drunk Ray on social media after this incident, or have you reined it in a bit?
I feel like everybody always says there's life lessons. That was a major life lesson. It's just never good. Never have I woke up after doing Instagram, Twitter, after drinking and said, "Man, I'm so glad I did that." It's always regrets. So with that said, we're going to be a lot more careful with what we do with our phones when we've been drinking. And maybe don't drink that much. Maybe it's okay to just have a couple drinks. I mean, I probably floated a keg that day, and the entire staff is like, "Dude, can we get this guy out of the resort? He's draining our bar."
So not only did you have a therapy session, but a life lesson that potentially stopped future drunk Ray posts from happening.
Hopefully so. Fingers crossed. I learned a very, very valuable thing. I never want to hurt my wife like that again. And if it means only having a couple beers instead of 12, I'm totally fine with doing that.
You're a changed man. 2021 is coming in strong for you, Ray. Well, besides this moment, I want to hear a few other things about Aruba. Give us the good stuff. Besides this crazy moment, and obviously the Tylenol story that you guys are going to hear in a moment when we play it back from the show this week. But Ray, what else happened that was good from your honeymoon? We'll leave this on a good note.
Yeah. So you roll into Aruba, and when you land, when I say you don't see the island until you land, I ain't kidding. It was like, boom, wheels on the runway. Oh my gosh, it's an island. Usually landing in America, there's so much land, not Aruba. I mean, it is a very small island. The second we're there, people in Aruba, you'll always have worldviews. Oh, this country's nice, this one's. Arubian people are nice as heck, man. They are so sweet. That we felt so at home. It was confusing, honestly. When you first land, you got to go through immigration. You got to have a green check mark. You got to have a COVID test. They were so nice to us, and they're like, give us that form. Okay, you can go. It was an absolute blessing. We landed, boom, to the resort. From there, the staff, the bartenders, the maids, they don't know a ton of English. Their language is something like Portuguese. It's a kind of like an offshoot of Portuguese. Very confusing. I don't understand it. But they went out of their way to understand American.
Wait, so how did you order beers? Is beer the same word in that language, or are you sure you were drinking beers?
No. They know the words. Balashi, that's one of the beers. There's only two beers there, the main ones, Balashi and Chill. So they know those two words. They know tequila. They know, you know, I made up the Sizz and Coral while I was there, a little mixed drink. So they're awesome, honestly. There is a little bit of a language barrier, but the fact that they go out of their way to understand you and your needs is the utmost best. But yeah, real quick about the resort, epic. They call it a palace for a reason. It almost looks like something out of Dubai. I mean, if you're walking the beach, you're like, holy crap, what is that hotel? What is that resort? That's where Sizzin was staying. It was massive.
Did you guys get to go on any adventures like parasailing or snorkeling or I don't know, all the exotic things you do on an island?
Yep, we did a catamaran, which was dope. And that was basically
which
just
you drank on, I would
that
assume.
Was a booze cruise.
Yep.
I hope that's not the theme. But and then we did the snorkeling where they took us to a shipwreck and you got to see Titanic underwater style shipwreck. Pretty dope. Some people actually took off their snorkel and dove in. I'm like, y'all are crazy.
You didn't do that?
No, because I had read stuff that there was crazy fish and stuff, a bunch of marine life, which you really
don't. Well, why didn't you want to see the crazy marine life? That's the point of snorkeling.
Because I ain't trying to go to Aruba and be the Aruban guy or the guy in Aruba that died in the shipwreck that had already wrecked.
So just to clarify, Ray now not only almost got sent to jail in Aruba, he also was afraid of dying. So this is all very well.
But then we did a speedboat where we rode on the back. It was a giant inner tube. So it was a honeymoon style. So we're holding hands the whole time. My wife was scared to death and she would only do it with me. So we're going over these bumps. Imagine going to your family's favorite lake and doing inner tubing on the back of a speedboat. We did it in the Caribbean, mother ever. I mean, it was so dope. We did it for 30 minutes for $30. After we got done, I was like, can I do that again? But wife wasn't having it.
Well, I'm really glad that you guys had some really awesome moments. Besides one crazy little hiccup and a crazy drug story, it sounds like it was overall you guys had an insane time.
Best moment, we did a 5-star meal. It was rated by the New York Times as the number one place to go in Aruba. It was, mahi-mahi, Bay had steak. The best Michelin-style meal we've ever had. It was called Fishbone. If you ever go to Aruba, go there. It's a little pricey. A listener actually paid for it.
Oh, this is the one where you were sitting out in the water, right?
Yes. You aren't allowed to take your shoes because our table is in the water. So if you complain, waitstaff, small problem, my feet's in the water. No, it's in the Caribbean. That's how it's supposed to be. You're going to get a little wet. If a wave kind of picked up a little bit, maybe your ankles get wet. But it was so sick. And it lasted for hours. We saw the sunset. The most beautiful pictures ever, and everybody, you can just hear people gasping left and right. You don't see that type of a moment ever, and we got to do it on our honeymoon. It's like something we'll remember for the rest of our lives.
I love that. I think that's a perfect thing to end on. And before I do go, a little fact check. They speak Dutch, apparently, down there.
Hey, I knew I wasn't right.
It was close. But now you can listen back to his crazy story about a drug incident. No, Ray wasn't on any drugs. He was looking for Tylenol. Almost went to jail. It's crazy. Listen back to this. Thanks, Ray, for sharing the full story of your honeymoon.
Number 4.
When'd you guys get married, Ray?
Got married in end of October.
So your honeymoon was in Aruba. Why Aruba? During COVID, they let people in or what?
Yeah, you had to get a COVID test. So the entire, in theory, the entire island was COVID free.
So how was it?
Awesome. Water, possibly the bluest I've ever seen, every shade. I mean, you're talking your royals, your baby blues, all of them.
Baby blues.
It's an unbelievable resort. It was almost just like, it was called a palace. We stayed at a place literally called that. So it looked just like that.
Anything crazy happened on your trip?
There was some wild stuff. My wife, honestly, she slipped late in the trip and hurt her leg. So I was trying to find some Tylenol for a while. That was the bad stuff. The good stuff was catamaran rides, saw shipwrecks, went snorkeling, chilling on the beach, doing absolutely nothing for 7 days. I mean, it doesn't get better than that.
Why was finding her Tylenol such a dramatic thing?
She was in pain. She took a hard fall. It would rain at night, and we didn't really realize that. And however they make these buildings, it's really slippery. The tile, they would put up signs all the time. Very slippery. Be careful. And then the wind would blow. And even though it's a summer place, it was like ice. Her legs went right out from under her, had coffee, and luckily she didn't tear or break anything, but she was in a lot of pain.
So what happened?
I saw a guy. I went to a marketplace trying to find Tylenol. Never found Tylenol. She was in pain for 2 days. Finally got back to the States, but she's better now. She's on the mend.
Are you not going
to
tell the drug story?
Did you want me to?
Well, I know it.
There's a drug story?
Yeah, and I thought it was a great story, but he's not going to it, so I don't know if he's not going to it for a reason.
No, I will go to it.
Okay, go ahead.
So first day I'm there, a guy asked me, do you want weed? I said, no. Second day I'm there, he goes, hey, man, do you want mushrooms, ecstasy?
What?
Okay, and I said no. So the fifth day, my wife hurts her leg, and I look at every store, every gas station, every health place, no Tylenol on the entire island. If you're gonna start a business, start a Tylenol business, okay? They don't exist. So then I get to thinking, what if I go and ask the drug dealer? Okay, so I go, they're easy to find, they're all over the beach. I ask him, I said, hey man, I heard you were peddling some stuff earlier. Do you have Tylenol? And he goes, Tylenol? And I go, yeah, I really need it for my wife. And so he starts yelling to his buddies. They were almost a network. Hey, Tylenol, Tylenol. Hey, hey, Marco, Jose. I mean, it's quite a scene right now, okay? And there's security guards at these resorts. And so it dawns on me, that's probably what these security guards are here for, to bust people, tourists, trying to get drugs. And it looks like I'm trying to get drugs. I'm going to end up in a Rubian jail trying to get Tylenol. So I just started, took off. I absolutely bailed from the situation. I was like, forget it, dude. I don't need it anymore. That it was a wake up call that I literally could have been in a jail cell because I was trying to get Tylenol in Aruba.
And he didn't want to get to that story. No. Isn't that a great story?
Yeah, that's great.
Great story. So how is she now? She better?
Yeah, she's fine.
Okay, good. Oh, there you have it. And what Ray told us yesterday, she got the vaccine.
Yeah.
Because she had breast cancer.
Correct.
And did they say that you could maybe, if you're just there and you had your shoulder out, maybe you could get you one?
I thought in my head, what if I was in the same room and there was maybe a little bit left in the syringe? Maybe they give me some of the vaccine. Who knows?
And they didn't.
But I was asleep. I was taking a nap when she did it.
Let's go. It's the best bits of the week. Show. With Morgan number two.
Eddie is a father of four. He has two biological kids and two foster children. And if you've been following his story, he's been working on adopting those two other children and making them permanent members of their family. And this week, Eddie gave us an update. It wasn't like great news, but it's also not bad news. And we love hearing updates from Eddie. And he also mentioned that the kids are really excited about calling him daddy now. So you want to listen to this. It's really adorable.
Number three.
Alyssa in Arkansas is on the phone, who has decided to call us. I'm very thankful for that. Hi, Alyssa.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
So I am a foster home. We currently have eight kids. And first time caller, I'm also from Arkansas, and I was just kind of wanting to get an update on Eddie and how it's going with his foster kiddo. I think he still just has one.
Two
bonus kids. So I just kind of wanted to see how that was going. Eddie, how long you've kind of been fostering now, and you know, how it's going.
Well, it's going to be 2 years this month. So that's pretty crazy. I got two kids. 2 years this month. We're looking at parental rights being terminated. August is the target date.
Of this year?
Of
that
this
long?
Year. August. Yes. And you got to understand, it's stressful to know this, because at any moment, and we thought during the holidays, we would worry that, you know, a caseworker would go to the house and meet with the parents and they'd have just a change of heart. And for us, 2 years of having these kids, ooh, man, we're in that transition where these aren't just our foster kids anymore. Like, these kids are a part of our life. And if they get things change and they have to go back, it's going to be bad for us. It's going to be bad for them. I mean, the baby is all we know. We picked him up at the hospital. So to him, we are his parents. So it could, I mean, everyone that we've talked to, we're like, just pray for us, please, please. Because if anything happens, I mean, it could be pretty bad. So August is a long time to wait. But that's the target.
Didn't you think last year you would have got the kids?
Yes. Yeah, and we thought it would be by now. But I remember Amy talking about her adoption and how long it took. And I was like, this is ridiculous how long it takes. And now I understand that this kind of stuff takes a long, long time. And I guess we just have to be patient.
What do you think about that, Alyssa?
Yeah, I mean, I completely understand. We have three adopted out of the foster care system, and then two biological, and then we have three more bonus kids right now. So I understand how long the process can be, and sometimes it takes years, which it can be frustrating and a little disheartening. But we'll be praying for you, too. I just kind of hadn't heard an update lately, and you know, we're kind of in the same boat, so we wanted to check in with you.
Thank you. Other than that, everything's great. I mean, I'm daddy now. Like, they don't call me Eddie anymore, which is a huge change. I'm daddy now to both of them, and it's pretty cool, and we're loving every minute of it.
What do they think about flying on the airplane for the first time?
Amazing. Amazing. So it was funny. On the way to Texas, we flew for the first time, and our 5-year-old foster son, he's never flown on a plane. And every time he saw a plane in the sky, he was like, you think I'll ever get on one of those? I'm like, I'm sure one day you will. But he had no idea that we were flying. He gets on, and he's freaking out. Even the baby's looking out the window going, ooh. Wow. And that moment when the plane takes off and starts shaking, they loved it. Now, on the way back, it's like they've been flying for years. They're like, whatever, check in back here. All right, this is my seat, Dad. Cool. All right, seatbelt. Not even looking out the window. Can you close it, please? It's a little bright. I'm like, this is ridiculous. This is your second time.
Alyssa, thank you for the call. Hope you have a great day.
Yeah, you too.
See you later. Let's
go. It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
While we were on vacation, so much happened. Bobby and his fiance Caitlin welcomed a new fur baby to the family. Currently, he has a bulldog, Stanley, which everybody knows, but now they have another four-legged family member. She was a gift to Caitlin for her birthday. And let's just say things are going a little difficult, mostly because she's a puppy and she was a rescue. So Bobby talked about adopting her, the whole process, and what life has been like for them being parents of two fur babies.
Number two.
So I'll tell you, one of the big developing stories from over the break was we got a new dog. We adopted a dog. They found it on the street. We were like, we'll take that dog. So there's a place called Wags and Walks.
Yes.
So that's what it's called, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we went through them. They said people are fostering it at this house. And so we go over, and it was for Caitlin's birthday, by the way, which is tomorrow. Mm-hmm. She wants another dog. She wanted a girl dog. And I was looking for the right one. But we needed a dog that wouldn't be bullied once it got older by our bulldog. And he's a really nice, loving dog, but he's just so big. He's like half husky.
Okay, yeah, I was going to ask. He looks husky.
Half husky, half coon hound.
Really?
Half, I don't know.
Oh, you're making that up.
No. That part's really? Real because we have the DNA test. Wow. You can do that with dogs now.
That's cool.
And it came with the dog.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
So we go and we get the dog. And you know what? Rightfully so. This little dog is just a mess. Wants to bite and attack everything that grabs it because it's been on the streets.
He's a puppy, right?
She is a puppy.
She is a puppy.
She is 3.5 months old.
Okay.
She's biting Stanley's face. And he takes it. And then finally he's like, I'm not taking this anymore. And just takes his paw and goes boom and nice. Knocks her across the room. And we're just for like 4 days, it was just out of control. So we have a friend who's a trainer. We go, hey, can you spend some time with this dog? So right now the dog is being trained. But even after a couple weeks, you know, it's still a puppy. But it
just went through this process.
It has been a lot.
Yeah, so I know the same friend. And
well, because it's a friend of ours. Yes.
The dog ate a hole in one of their jackets.
The dog
were wearing the jacket.
Yeah. The dog will just jump on. You know what the dog reminds me of? By the way, I'll tell your name in a second. But the dog we just adopted, who is going, we're going to straighten it out. She's going to have a great life.
Yeah.
But the dog reminds me of if you're running through a field and like a chigger gets on you,
mm-hmm.
it just jumps and all of a sudden it's there and you can't get it off. And then they're everywhere. That's what the dog reminds you of, because all of a sudden it's just latched onto you. And so we're going to get there. It's very small. It's very angry. Mm-hmm. And it should be angry because it's had a rough life. Caitlin named it Eller. Now, do you know why, Eddie?
Yes.
Oh, you already know.
Yes, I already know.
But would you have known?
No, okay. Of course not.
Eller is the aunt in the musical Oklahoma, which this song is from right here. There you go.
And Caitlin loves
she
the musical.
She loves the musical Oklahoma. She's from Oklahoma. She couldn't be prouder of it.
Let's go. It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
Our biggest segment from the show this week was none other than Morgan Wallen. I mean, he's basically all everybody can talk about right now. He was our Friday morning conversation because he dropped a double album. Not just a normal, you know, 12, 13 song record. No, he dropped a double album called Dangerous, and he came on the show to talk all about it, plus about that really controversial Walmart leak of his album, and even performed some of his songs. But here it is. This is a really awesome interview. You might as well just have it on repeat along with his album all weekend long.
Number one, the Friday morning conversation with
Morgan Wallen.
Morgan, how are you, bud?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
You're extremely fresh-faced.
Yeah, I had a mustache yesterday, but I woke up today and decided to off with it.
What happened? Because I was seeing that Walmart accidentally leaked your record. Like, what do you know that happened?
I guess a few Walmarts, I don't know, around the area. I mean, there was like, I think it was like Wisconsin, Missouri, some other places just put it out on the shelf too early. And then.
Oh, so it was out physically.
Which I think they may do that sometimes just to get it ready, but then it'll show up like unauthorized when you go to buy it. But they just started authorizing it anyway, I think, from what I understand. So.
But that's how you know you made it. When it's not just an accident, it's a leak.
I mean, I'm fine with that. You know, I've honestly thought about doing something like that on purpose before, but this was an accident.
There are 30 songs total on the two records.
Yeah.
The Target has plus two.
Yeah, so it'll be 32 overall.
So how many songs do you write to trim it to 32?
I don't know, probably like 100, something like that, I would say.
How long does it take you to write 100 songs?
It probably took about 2.5 years. I mean, you know, some people, I think a lot, some artists may write more than that. But for me, I don't write every day or write all the time, you know, just when it comes and goes for me. But I'd say probably 2.5 years.
I was looking at my phone before you came in. Amy, listen to this. Morgan texts me on Monday, December 28th at 7:50 a.m., which, by the way, is during a... I thought my house was on fire. Someone had texted me at 7:45 in the morning on the 28th. I was like, oh, God, my phone's ringing. I'm like, what happened? And he goes, hope you had a Merry Christmas, brother.
Disclaimer, I was on Eastern time zone, so it was 8:45 for me.
What were you doing up so early during break?
I don't know.
I was like, what is he doing? I wasn't even up that early. And I replied back. I was like, you too, man. See you soon. And I was like, what is Morgan doing up at 8 o'clock, three
I think
days
that
after
might
Christmas?
Have been. Oh, I think I was headed to Charleston.
What'd you do for Christmas?
I think I was listening to the radio and you came on or something.
Okay, so it was like a best of show.
I think so. Yeah.
Got it. What was Christmas like for you?
It was good, man. It was white. In East Tennessee, we had a white Christmas. That was cool. I think the last time we had that was about 10 years ago. Just spending it with my family, man. It was real cool.
When you go back home, and I know where you grew up and it's around Knoxville, but what's home? What do you call home when you go home? What town?
Well, I Knoxville and Sneeville both. You know, I spent a majority of my time in Knoxville growing up. I'd say probably around 10 years, but I spent 5 or 6 in Sneedville, and that's where I was born. That's where a lot of my family's from. So I just kind of consider them both my home.
If you go to a restaurant or you go to Chili's or something, do you start seeing people go, oh, Morgan Wallen's at Chili's?
I don't go there anymore.
You're just good. You just chill.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. You put out a double album. Let me ask you this before I play a couple clips. Why a double album? Why not do what's being done normally?
Oh yeah. Well, me and my manager Seth, we kind of started the year off last year joking around about the idea of a double album, just because we had already accumulated, you know, probably, I don't know, 20 or, you know, the low 20s in the number of songs that we felt like were worthy of being recorded. And, you know, that's a weird number, because you can take that and you can usually take it down to about 15 and just have a normal album, you know, or you can go up. And I didn't think I was going to have enough time to do it because we're going to be touring a lot. And then, you know, obviously the way last year turned out, I ended up having a lot of time. And right when quarantine started, I wrote like 5 or 6 songs right immediately that we felt were worth recording. So we just decided to go up instead of trimming it down. And, you know, I feel like people really want music right now more than they have in a long time because they got more time to listen to it. So it just seemed like it made sense.
Where does most of your inspiration come from for writing a song?
Well, a lot of times it comes from experience. A lot of times it comes from something that, you know, like an idea from a song can spur from a lot of things. For me, it comes a lot from people talking in a conversation. You know, they'll say something like, oh, it'll click in my head. You know, that's a song idea, a song title. But most of the things that I write are pretty, you know, from experience or something that I've seen.
Huh. What about More Than My Hometown? Where does that come from and how'd that come together?
Yeah, well, me and Hardy wrote that together. We both come from, you know, similar places. He's from Mississippi, I'm from Tennessee, but they're similar areas. And, man, we're real proud of where we came from. And, you know, I think we always will be. And this song kind of also means, you know, just talking about sticking true to yourself in a metaphorical way. No matter who comes and goes, I'm going to, you know, I'll be here being myself. And we both just kind of felt like those two things really coincided well together.
Morgan Wallen is here. He's got the 30 songs out today. Dangerous, the double album, it is out. Let's do a little More Than My Hometown. I know you got your boys here.
Let's do it, yeah.
You guys all good? Everybody
yeah.
good?
Yeah.
All right, let's hear a little More Than My Hometown.
You got a wild in your eyes that I just wasn't born with. I'm a same gas station, cup of coffee in the morning. I need a house on the hill, girl, not in them. So hang on to these words, to them avenues help you forget them. I love you more than a California sunset. I love you more than a $20 sundress. Hate that loaded down car you got your keys in, girl, but I hate even more that you're leaving. Cause I love you more than a feeling when a bass is up, when a guy gets a girl at the end of the book. But that ain't you and me, so I guess I'll see you around. Cause I can't love you more than my hometown. Love you more than my hometown. Love you more than my hometown. Love you more, baby, love you more.
Come on, yeah. Morgan Wallen. How'd that feel, guys? Feel good to play music again?
It sure does, yeah.
Man, that is so good. Your high school, you went to high school, the same school that Kenny Chesney went to, right?
I did, yeah.
Is there like a shrine to Kenny at your school?
No, surprising. Well, there wasn't then.
But, like, it's not like Kenny Chesney High. Like, they're...
No. No,
you think
not.
There'd be, like, a school board going, guys, we really should work on... But so you don't walk in, it's like home of Kenny Chesney, anything like that?
No. Which I don't... At least not then. I haven't been back really since I graduated, so maybe they changed that now, but...
In your hometown, Sneedville, would they put up a Morgan Wallen sign, like, boyhood home Morgan Wallen?
I'd say so, probably. They said that they were already wanting to do it, but they were afraid somebody would steal it. Which somebody, like More Than My Hometown, for example, I took the cover art was, you know, a Sneedville sign, and someone just stole it. So I guess they're I'd say it's probably a good suspicion.
But what could happen, though, eventually, when you put it up, people will go to Sneedville to take a picture with the sign and support the local economy.
No, that's already happening. I went back home for, I didn't know this, but someone just told me this the other day that I was back home and seeing my papaw, and I guess somebody found out that I was there, and people like were driving to Sneedville to try to find me and stuff. So
that's a little different. That's
well, but hopefully they stopped for a snack somewhere, and then yeah,
that's true.
Helped the local
economy.
They
went to the gas station.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to play something from the record as you get some water there. This is track one. Morgan's got a new record called Dangerous. It's a double album. Here is Sand in My Boots.
Something about the way she kissed me tells me she loves Eastern Tennessee. Yeah, but all I brought back with me was some sand in my boots.
And then here's another one I really like called Whiskeyed My Way. This is that.
It wasn't my buddies, it wasn't my mama, it wasn't no self-help how-to. It wasn't no records, it wasn't old flames, or dancing with somebody new. Tequila made me crazy.
Good one, man.
Thanks, man.
Which of these songs do you look forward to playing to a crowd that is going to scream it back at you?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Because you really haven't been able to, and I mean this in the most loving, because you know I love you, right?
Oh, I love you too.
You haven't been able to be the massive superstar you are now to a massive crowd yet.
No, right.
Like, you were starting to hit it. I told you, I saw you, and I wasn't convinced, and I saw you, and I was like, now I'm convinced.
Yeah.
Like, but now you have so many songs that 20,000 people will sing back to.
Yeah, it's unreal to think about. I don't know. I think Sand in My Boots is one of my personal favorites, too, man. I'm really looking forward to seeing that, what that one's like. But, yeah, it's like a bittersweet thing, you know. Like a lot of what's going on in the world for all of us, it's bittersweet. That's just part of it for me, too.
Do you ever see people outside your house now driving by?
No, I don't. No, I don't look outside of my house too much.
I just wanted, because Post Malone has a house right on a road. People drive by, I see on Instagram all the time, driving by Post Malone's house, and I'm like, dang, people just found it on the internet, but they haven't done that to you yet.
No, I don't know how, I guess they found it. I'm not sure how they found his, but my house is like not my name or anything, so maybe it's a little harder to find.
What if his wasn't under Post Malone? Yeah. You just Google where does Post Malone live, and it popped up there. My favorite song is Somebody's Problem. Love it. It's such a good song, man.
It barely made the record.
Is that right?
Well, not because we didn't think it was good enough. It's just I already had recorded about 31, and I think this is the last. It was the very last one that we recorded.
Why did you record this one if it was right there on the fence?
I just really liked it a lot, and I don't know. It seemed unique compared to all the rest of them, so I just came in to, I don't think I came in. I think I texted Seth and Joey and was like, "Here, you guys, I really like this song." And Joey's like, "Dang,
I love it. I mean, it's my favorite right now from you."
Thank you.
You want to play a little bit of that?
Yeah, let's
do it. You
guys
want to do a little? Okay, this is Morgan Wallen. Got a new record out today. It's a double album. Here is Somebody's Problem.
Oh, hey, baby, don't just keep me wishing. Oh, let me get to fixing somebody's problem. Somebody's goodbye. Somebody's last call number that they can't find. Somebody's best day. Somebody's worst night. Somebody's reason for leaving on a porch light. Thinking about them tan lines, and I'm thinking, damn, I'd love to drown in them heartbreaker blue eyes. See, somebody's problem. And somebody's problem's about to be mine. You're about to be mine. You're about to be mine. You're about to be mine.
That's so good, guys. All of you guys. Morgan, the whole band. Man, so good. You guys' background vocals on that, A+. I know it's the Morgan show, but let me recognize you guys.
Please
that,
do, man.
That part, I'm going to sing that tan lines line. You guys do it with me. Ready? All right, here we go. Think about them tan lines. No, you guys, there it is. All right.
Sounds good.
All right, okay.
Nailed it.
Because the lines, think about them tan lines, and I'm thinking,
damn, I
okay.
Want to drown in the.
Got it. Right, here we go.
Think about them tan lines, and I'm thinking, dang right. That sounds good, boys. Come on. Look at that.
Hey, don't be replacing me.
Oh, no. Don't worry about that.
What do you mean?
Because I can't do your job.
Yeah. Well, they nailed it.
Yeah, that's great, guys. Dang. How'd you find all these guys?
They moved here with me. Well, except for him, but we still love him.
So all you guys, East Tennessee guys for the most part?
No, none of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They moved here for you. What do you mean?
So I met the guy that used to be my guitar player. It was not like a bad breakup or anything. He just got married and wanted to stay at home. But I met him, and they used to be a couple. These two right here used to be in a band together, like an active rock band. And we kind of just all became friends and started a band together. And I don't know, we decided we're going to move to Nashville.
And those guys, the band was called Godsmack, which is interesting. All right, Morgan's here because he put out a double album today. It is all over the place, man. It's so many songs.
I know.
And I see them random ones pop up all over the place, like just all different playlists. And I mean, I guess that's the plan, like get as much good stuff out to people as possible, right?
Yeah, man. We felt like each song had something unique to say, and there's a lot of different sounds. We had, I think, you know, three main sounds that we kind of tried to use, you know, spread out. But, we just felt like we had a lot of good stuff.
These love songs. There's some love songs.
Yeah, that's mostly on side one, yeah.
So, like, what's happening there?
I think just, you know, life experiences. It's nothing really like present. It's just most stuff that I've just drawn from things that I've been through in the past.
I got to wonder, too, like when you're going back and you go back to play SNL, and that's a big lie. That's a live show.
Yep.
I mean, the L is live. Do you get nerves still? Is being as good as you are, do you still get nerves when it's like, here we go, click, click, click?
For some reason, I really didn't for that. I don't know why. They were really accommodating towards us. You know, they made us feel super comfortable, so I think that really had a lot to do with it. You know, if everybody was real uptight and like, get here, it might have been different, but it was pretty relaxed, and I felt pretty comfortable. The only thing that I was a little bit nervous is about, after I did the skit, I had, I don't know, less than 3 minutes to change clothes and then go sing. So that was what I was a little nervous about that, but it was smooth.
Do you guys as the band go, well, if I screw up on this stage, this is like, what's your name?
Dominic.
Dominic, you go, did you play SNL? Did you go?
Yeah.
Okay. This is a big deal for you too, right? This is not just, it is about Morgan, but this is you guys. Like, you're at the highest level. Are you going, Dominic, if you screw this up, are you nervous?
I didn't think I would be, and then as soon as we got on stage, there was a little bit of like, oh, this is for real, this is really happening, but I think it was so exciting to be there that it just kind of was like, I don't know, any like exciting football game or something, you're like, oh, I'm like more excited than I'm nervous, I don't know what I feel right now, like I'm just,
What happens, Morgan, if
that's a good way to put
Dominic,
it.
Like for example, game. Hits a bad note in a live show? Do you look at him? Do you acknowledge that you saw it? Or like, what happens then?
Yeah, well, I think it's a little more serious if it's like on live TV.
But if it's like at a show,
so far that's not happened, I don't think. But yeah, at a show, I'll just laugh. You know, I know he's extremely talented. We all mess. I screw up the words sometimes. You know, I do wrong things too.
Which leads me to my next question. Do you know the words to all 30 of these songs?
I like to think I do because I did record them.
But still, that's a lot to remember.
It is. Well, yeah, we're going to do a show, like a live stream thing at the Ryman, and we're rehearsing for that. And I was telling them last night, like, I think I might have to start practicing before rehearsal.
Amy, what do we like to ask Morgan?
Have you watched Ted Lasso?
No.
What?
Not.
Sometimes when Morgan is talking, do you hear Ted?
No.
No,
Ted Lasso is the greatest TV show of 2020. It's still now.
Okay, so it's 2020. So when you hear Ted talking, you hear me then.
Okay, I guess so. He's such an inspiration. And two, you know, I think you're still young. I mean, you're 27, but you're still young, and especially young in your career. But what would you say to other people coming up, whether they're trying to have a musical career or any profession they're seeking? Like, did you see yourself being successful, or like, is that, did you believe in yourself wholeheartedly, or did you have people along the way encouraging you, or what would you tell people?
Yeah. I mean, I think it helps to have both, but I definitely did. I don't know. For some reason, I never really had doubts. And you know, even like my first single was, you know, not a failure, but definitely not a hit. And even then, I don't know why. I just never let bad thoughts come into my mind. And I think that mindset really affects your work ethic too, you know, because if you're expecting to fail, you're probably not going to give your complete effort, I don't think. I've never really thought about it that much, but for some reason, I just never let anything negative get in my head.
I think that's a huge part of your success, I'm sure, and it's very Ted Lasso.
I
need to watch
show.
That.
It's the best show.
You have to.
I think I saw that you put that on something.
It's my number one favorite show, and I tattooed it on my arm.
Did you?
So that's what no, I didn't.
Yeah. Like,
can you? No, I have a Morgan Wallen tattoo over that arm.
Yeah.
On the other arm. Who is that? Who's in it?
Jason Sudeikis.
Oh, he's hilarious.
Now, Sudoku is what you do as a puzzle name. Sudeikis is...
whatever, you
What's
know that
about?
Guy.
He's a football coach at Wichita State, and he gets recruited to go be a soccer coach, but he's never played soccer in his life.
In England.
Yeah.
Oh, so he's like faking his way through it?
Well, you have to watch it to find out.
Okay.
If you watch it, let me know. It's good. Anybody else seen it here? You guys are probably too busy making great music. I get it.
Come on, guys.
You're great musicians. We get it. All right. Let's do one more song. Morgan's got the double album out today. It's called Dangerous. And I think we'll end with the big one right now that I can hear thousands and thousands of people singing this song back to you. So much so that you can stop in the middle of it and they'll just take it. You know? Don't do it here because we ain't going to do that. But
I don't know. You did a pretty good job.
But you'll be able to just play this song and stop. And the place is going to be like, seventh. Whatever. I'm not singing it right now. You guys, are you ready? Here we go. Morgan Wallen, Seven Summers, Bobby Bones Show.
Summers of cold and southern comfort, were we dumb or just younger? Who knows? Back then we used to love the river, and sipping on a sixer with me. Does it ever make you sad to know that was seven summers ago? Seven summers ago. Seven summers ago.
There he is, Morgan Wallen.
Yeah.
What's up?
He sounds just the same.
It's like
live
we push play.
Radio. Yeah, which is like not everybody's like that.
Let's be honest. Most people aren't like that.
Yeah, and listen, it's awkward.
Let we me won't say no name.
About your record. Let me say that the last track on the second record is the song Eric Church wrote.
Yeah.
Eric Church. I'm fans of all three of them. Eric Church, Luke Laird, and Josh Thompson. So individually, love them all.
Me
how'd,
too.
How'd that song come to you?
We were still on tour at that point, and I'd brought Luke and Rodney Clausen out one weekend to write some songs while we were out. And Luke's obviously a frequent collaborator with Eric, and he had just heard me say something in my show talking about Eric Church. So he was like, oh, man, you know, I love him too. You know, I can write with him and all that stuff. And he's like, oh, let me play some songs we wrote. And so we listened, and I heard that one, and I really liked it. And And I said, well, is he going to record that, you know? And he's like, I don't know. Let me ask him. And Eric was like, no. And I said, well, can I? And they said, yeah. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Quitting Time.
Yeah, Quitting Time.
It's the final track on the record.
Right.
The other thing that I like, too, is because I remember when Diplo put it out, and you sang it when it was Heartless, but it was on Diplo's record.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a more called the Wallen mix on the record. Do we have that, Ray? Can we play some of that?
Why you gotta be so heartless? I know you think it's harmless. You're tearing me apart.
So the difference in the mix is just a lot of standard instruments instead of...
Yeah, and like real drums and stuff like that.
Yeah, man. You got a lot, but you got a lot of great stuff, man. It's awesome.
Thank you.
Super excited for you. Everybody check it out. It's Dangerous. You probably have no choice. It's going to be played everywhere. You're getting here. You ever go anywhere and hear your music playing over the top?
Yeah, well, the other day I went in Kroger and my song was playing. I was like, I immediately just walked out.
All right. There he is. Morgan
I'm not
Wallen.
That hungry.
Guys, good to see you guys. You guys killed it. You're great. All
Thank
dressed
you.
In black, too.
Yeah.
You got the memo I sent out. I was like, don't come in here with any color. All right, there he is. Morgan Wallen. Check out the record. Oh, before you go, Amy is hosting Morgan Wallen's album release party on Thursday the 14th, 7 p.m. local time, wherever you are. It'll be on iHeartRadio's YouTube page. All right, thanks, man.
Thank y'all.
It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
That's a wrap for this week's show. It was our first one of 2021, and I appreciate y'all just taking the time to hang out with me, listen. I know some people may think this gets repetitive, but I bring on our show members to give you guys some behind the scenes because there's not a lot of behind the scenes that y'all get. So this is the one time you get to hear from people outside of the show. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Bobby Bones Show. You know, you can also relive all of the moments from this week outside of these seven that I think are really awesome at BobbyBones.com. We put up all kinds of videos. Also, if you want to follow me at WebGirlMorgan, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all the things, hit me up about what you want to hear or just, you know, talk to me about your dog. Send me dog pictures. I like that too. Bye.
Come on. Bobby Bones. Yeah.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when this thought hits you. Okay, I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, the whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Canva is awesome for so many reasons, for your social media, but for work. If you're looking for ways to impact at work, Canva can help your points get across. All right, Mike, what do we use it for? Like one sheets, if we're doing like a presentation, graphics.
Oh, it's awesome for graphics. Super easy to use.
And that's the thing, too, especially with some of these apps. You think, well, there's no way I'll be able to use it. Well, me, because I'm a dummy. But even I can use Canva to make things look cool, right?
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to insult me and say yeah so quickly.
Yeah, you can do it. Yes. It's awesome.
So it's easy to design impactful Canva presentations, docs, whiteboards, videos. Start with a designer-made template, which makes it so easy, especially for me. Customize with your content. You can add images and graphics and charts. Start designing today at canva.com. Design for work.
The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them every day can make all the difference in the world. That's why everybody should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at CedarPoint.com.